Thank you for listening to the James Hooper Podcast. This is where you can hear sermons, discussions on various topics, and whatever else I feel like talking about. I trust you'll be encouraged, enlightened, and uplifted by something we say or do. Hang tight. Here we go. Well, we're continuing our series called Lit. We are lit, y'all. We're fire. We're lit. We talked about that last week, about what is Pentecost. And when the tongues of fire set on every one of them, that's why we're lit. We're all fire, okay? And so we talked about what is Pentecost. We talked about that it's Jesus, it's God, his plan in redeeming the nations. Redeeming the nations. And so he has called us as believers to make disciples of every nation, okay? And so that's what Pentecost was about. So we're going to go to this week, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is going to be our theme scripture for the rest of the series. I'll be doing the next one next week, and then Pastor Rich will be here the week after that. We'll be finishing up the series. And so this will be our theme scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 11, okay? Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, notice that word gifts is actually in parentheses. That word was actually not in the original. So Paul was saying, now concerning spiritual, brethren, but they put gifts there to make it easier to read because he says gifts later. So that's why they did that. That's why it's in brackets. Brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of Spirit, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, remember, Corinthians, Paul is responding to letters that we do not have the privilege of reading. We don't know what was in those letters, so Paul is addressing issues that the Corinthians wrote to him about. There's some issues going on, and so we can just assume that their people were getting kind of caught up in their spiritual gifts, getting all built up in this, all thinking themselves were this, that, and the other. And so Paul was saying, okay, this is, we all have gifts, and it's for this, and these are the gifts, and this is the reason. So Paul's doing what I did, a series called Letters from Papa Paul, and I did Corinthians. And it's basically he is writing a fatherly address to this church saying, okay, y'all, chill. This is what you need to do. Okay, everybody calm down. Everybody stop doing it. So anyway, but in verses 1 through 3, Paul establishes three guiding principles that distinguish the ways of the Holy Spirit. We're going to break this down. So the first one is the principle of conscious control, okay? Principle of conscious control. Unlike paganism, the power of the Holy Spirit does not drive people into wild, compulsive acts. His gentle, dove-like ministry, remember when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove, so his dove-like ministry, that kind of tells you his character when you see that. His dove-like ministry strengthens human personality. Listen to this. You can tweet this if you want to. He empowers. He does not overpower. Okay? I grew up in Pentecost where they said the Holy Spirit just took me, just took over, and then did all kind of ignorant stuff. And it was not the Holy Spirit. It was people being all in the flesh and doing ignorant things. So the infilling of the Holy Spirit is not weird. Now, it is spooky because it's the Holy Spirit, but it's not weird. Okay? It's just unfamiliar. Most of the things are unfamiliar. Okay? So that was the first thing that we learned, the principle of conscious control. The second is the principle that Christ is glorified. So Paul's establishing these things when he's writing. All manifestations of the Spirit will harmonize with the truth about Jesus. Okay? I'm teaching this because we need to understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need to understand the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So all of the manifestations of the Spirit will harmonize with the truth about Jesus. That's the principle of that Christ is glorified. So the principle of conscious control, the principle that Christ is glorified, and thirdly, the principle of creedal faith, creedal, C-R-E-E-D-A-L, creedal faith. The main work of the Holy Spirit is to bring people under the lordship of Jesus. That's the purpose, is to bring people under the lordship. That word lordship, the word ship means, I learned this and I forgot it all of a sudden. Anyway, that he is Lord. In other words, he's under their control. So he is their Lord. And we don't use Lord a lot in our, but he is like, he the boss. We just say that. He's the boss. Okay? He's the boss. What he says goes. You know, and my dad used to have a saying, he said, funny thing about God is he thinks he's God, and he's usually always right. Well, basically, he's always right. So anyway, he said, God, he pretty much thinks he's God, so he knows what he's talking about. So that's verses 1 through 3. Then 4 through 6, establishing where the gifts come from, okay? Now, one of the things you need to understand about the Corinthians, they were polytheists. In other words, they believed in many gods. So if you notice, Paul kept saying the same God, the same Spirit, after the same, the same, the same, the same. He was saying this is all one God. It's not multiple different gods giving you all these different gifts, because they had the God of the sun, the God of the moon, the God of this, the God of that, you know. And he was saying, okay, all these things come from one God in three persons. Now, he references the Trinity in here, where he talks about the Spirit, Lord, and God. He reveals the unity of the work of God among his people and the various gifts, ministries, and activities that are manifested in their midst underscore God's desire to bless, to serve, and to be active in the life of his unique people. Paul is trying to say, listen, it's all from God, and he wants to be active in your life. And these come from God. These come from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. Jesus is God. God is God. They're all God. And so understanding this principle, it's difficult sometimes to understand the whole Trinity, but it is one God manifested in three revelations. In other words, he reveals us to himself in different ways, okay? So then verse 8 through 10 is a list of the gifts, and so we broke that down. And then verse 11 stating what's motivating the gifts, all right? Now, when we talk about gifts, we're talking about the word for gifts is charisma. We know what charisma, we think charisma, but charis, we've learned this before, charis means grace. C-H-R-I-S is grace. And when you put the ma on it, ma is gifts, so it's grace gifts. In other words, it is free gifts from God. It is free. Remember, grace is receiving what you don't deserve. And mercy is not receiving what you do deserve. We have to remember God is full of grace and full of mercy. He gives us what we don't deserve, and he don't give us what we do deserve. Because a lot of people say, well, I deserve, so listen, I don't want what I deserve. Because I have done some things that deserve a lot of stuff, but God says, you're free from that. You're free from that. All right, so we're going to cover what spiritual gifts are, okay? This is kind of a quick definition of spiritual gifts. Supernatural abilities sovereignly given to strengthen his saints who are to serve or minister one another and be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. All right, so it is supernatural abilities sovereignly given to strengthen his saints who are to serve one another and be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. This is what the supernatural gifts are not, okay? You can't be saved by supernatural gifts. That's a whole different thing. Supernatural gifts aren't your character. I'm going to tell you some of the most mean, most backbiting people are people I've seen operating the gifts of the Spirit. And I don't understand how it is. They're some of the most judgmental people. They're just, and but see, these gifts are irregardless of your character. They're not your character. They are gifts from God. You operate them. You don't possess the gifts. You operate in the gifts, okay? So this is not God saying, hey, they're a good person. He's just good. He's just God. And when somebody needs ministry, he's going to operate through a donkey if he needs to. Okay? Remember Balaam's donkey? He's going to operate through him. So you can't say, well, I thought they spoke in tongues. Well, listen, I tell you, there have been some women that I've seen were the gossipiest. They were the meanest. I mean, they looked mean. They were mean. And sometimes Christian can be some of the meanest people you ever. It's like, dude, I grew up around them, so I know what I'm talking about. It's not a talent. So it's not a talent that you can be proud of. Oh, it's, you know, like me, I'm resourceful or all this kind of stuff. It's not a talent. It doesn't mean that you are qualified for an elder, to be an elder or a deacon, and it's not a skill. I'm going to stop saying that. You can learn to operate in it, but it's not something you can, it's just not a skill, because you can learn how to operate in the gift better, but it's not a skill, okay? So that's what they are not. So then we're going to move to the purpose. I'm trying to lay some groundwork here. So the purpose of the spiritual gifts are. Now, my grammar police back there can let me know if I should have said is or whatever. I went back and forth, but I didn't want to mess with it. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit, listen to this, for the common good. Okay? For the common good. Next, 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And then the next verse, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11 says, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. So the purpose is for the common good, serving one another, and so God can be glorified. This is what the purpose of the spiritual gifts are. Some people say, why? What do we even need them for? It's because we need them to operate for one another, for the body of Christ, for one another. And you'll see that it's not just in the body of Christ, but it's for the common good of everybody involved. This is what the spiritual gifts are not. Our spiritual gifts are not to edify ourselves, but profit the whole body of Christ. And to not exercise your spiritual gift affects the health of the entire body. So if we don't operate in our gift, the body suffers. It's like what I've told people. If you're not yourself, if you don't be your true self, I am denied that aspect of God's glory, because everybody reflects God's glory in a different way, because God made us each to reflect God's glory in a different way. And if you don't operate in what the way God created you to be, in your personality, in your quirkiness and all that kind of stuff, if you don't be yourself, I'm missing that from the aspect of God's glory. You're cheating me, and I ain't happy about it. So y'all be yourself, okay? All right, so I'm going to define the three things. We're talking about the gifts of revelation, all right? We're talking about the gifts of revelation. I missed that, Don. I'm so sorry. I missed that title slide, but before. All right, so the gifts of revelation are, first of all, word of wisdom, all right? This is what a word of wisdom is, a spiritual utterance at a given moment through the Spirit, supernaturally disclosing the mind, purpose, and will of God as applied to a specific situation. Okay? I'll read that again just for clarification. This is a teaching session, y'all. Okay? We're learning this morning. It's a spiritual word of wisdom, a spiritual utterance at a given moment through the Spirit. In other words, it's inspired by the Spirit, supernaturally disclosing the mind, purpose, and will of God as applied to a specific situation. Example. One time I was Because I operate in the word of wisdom, word of knowledge mostly. I prophesy a lot, but word of wisdom, word of knowledge is what I operate in mostly. Word of wisdom, I was ministering to a young girl, and I all of a sudden in my mind, I saw her doing a specific thing. I saw her doing this thing, and I saw God giving a thumbs up, standing over doing a thumbs up. And I said, so God wants me to tell you that he's okay with you doing so-and-so. I had never met this girl before, never met this girl in my life. But what it was saying, okay, here is God giving you direction, okay? This is the mind of God for this specific thing that you're asking God about. This is a word of wisdom, okay? So that's how God will speak to us. And a lot of times, and this is why I said it's hard to operate in these gifts with people you know, because you know their stuff. And so it's harder to do that because you have to really believe God for things that you don't really know about. Or you can speak to things. You'll see this on the prophetic presbytery. You can speak to things that you know about, but there's going to be some aspect of it that you don't know that God's going to reveal to you. So that's why I wanted to start with just us and do that, and then we'll invite other people to operate in prophetic later, okay? So, word of knowledge. That was word of wisdom. This is word of knowledge. This is what I operate in mostly. It's a supernatural revelation of information pertaining to a person or an event given for a specific purpose, usually having to do with an immediate need, okay? So word of knowledge a lot of times is, all right, so another woman I was ministering to, and I said, so I see you dancing. I said, in my mind's eye, I see you dancing. You've got this flowy kind of gown thing on, and you're dancing. And you're dancing in the presence of God. God is, and you're just dancing. And I had noticed that when I was up on the stage during worship that she was very, you know, stoic, very not. I said that God said he wants you to dance before him. And I said, I don't know if you've ever, I said, and it seems like you know how to dance. And, I never met this girl before. And come to find out, she actually was a dancer that had taken years and years of dance. And something happened, and I forget what it was, that shut her down. And she really felt called to express herself in dance for the Lord in worship. But someone had stopped her or told her that she looked crazy. You know, something that had stopped her. And the Lord said, it's okay to dance before. I want you to dance before me. So words of knowledge, things will. Now, this is something that really happens a lot. Word of wisdom, words of knowledge is I'll feel what God feels about people. That's what I get mostly is. So I'll have people come up to me and I'll pray for them. And all of a sudden I get this overwhelming emotion, most of the time it's just. In fact, a couple of times I started laughing. I just started laughing. And I said, I'm sorry, but God just enjoys you. He's just like a parent watching his child play, and he's just laughing. He's not laughing at you. He's laughing because he's so pleased. And that person just fell on their knees, crying and weeping, and they felt like they had done the unpardonable sin. They could never be saved. They could do all this kind of stuff. And I said, God is just laughing because he enjoys you so much. And it's like, bam, and it spoke to them. And so God will use those things to speak to people because they need to know God cares for them. That's the main reason. It's not so we can reveal something to them they don't know. We're not fortune tellers. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't read palms. I don't do any of that stuff. But God wants to show people how much he cares about them by revealing something that a person, that a total stranger doesn't know, that will reveal to him to say, listen, I told them that just so you know I love you. I love you enough to tell you something that they don't even know, just to confirm something inside of you. That's what it does. It confirms something inside of you. And if you're looking for direction, a lot of times God will give you ideas. He won't say, go do this. He'll say, he'll just do like, you know, I'm with you. Okay, I had this, I was telling Sharon about this. Last Sunday morning, I was having my quiet time. And just as I had started my quiet time, you know, I sit and just listen to God for an hour. I'd started my timer on my phone, so I didn't have to worry about the clock. And all of a sudden, I saw, coming out of the ground, I saw this array of crystals. It's like a bunch of different crystals glowing different colors. And it's like they're pointing all different directions. And God said, you can go any direction you want to go, and I'll be with you just like I was with Joseph. Any direction you want to go. And I thought, okay. Because God wants us to make decisions. He wants us to make up our... He wants us to use our mind. We're not going to be mindless puppets. He wants us to... He gave us our mind to use, but he wants us to partner with him. He said, I'll be with you wherever you go. So I was sitting and meditating on it. And all of a sudden I began to realize, wait a minute. The brightest, largest glowing crystal is the one that's pointing straight ahead. And they got progressively dimmer and less bright in their color the farther to the left and the farther to the right they got. They were still glowing, but it's like the Lord said, listen, I'll be with you. You just won't recognize it as much in these other areas as you will in this direction. And I thought, okay. He gave me a choice. I can do whatever I want to do, and he'll go with me. But this is the direction I think that he wants me to go. And he'll make himself more known to me, and it'll be more he'll be more present. He's always present, but I'll know his presence, feel his presence more if I go this direction. See, God just wants to let you know he's partnering with you, and he's going to give you some idea of what he wants to do, okay? All right, moving on, discerning of spirits. Again, this is not the gift of suspicion, okay? A lot of people say that's discerning, that being discerning is being suspicious. That's not what discerning of spirits is. Discerning of spirits is the ability to discern the spirit world, especially to detect the true source of circumstances or motives of people. So we know that you are not my enemy. I'm not your enemy. But if I do something that hurts you, I do something that is not, you realize it is a spirit motivating me that I'm allowing to operate through me. It's a spirit that I'm allowing to motivate me. And so if you've got the discerning of, gift of discerning of spirits, you can recognize the spirit that's in charge here, that is motivating what's going on. And there are times if you have this gift, you can actually pinpoint it. And the reason why you can pinpoint it is so you can pray specifically against that spirit and its operation. It also brings revelation to the person so that they realize this is what's going on. And one of the things, and y'all remember I took you guys through an act doing forgiveness. Remember that? I felt in my spirit that there was the spirit of unforgiveness and the spirit of bitterness was in operation that morning. I felt it. I sensed it. That's why I stopped doing what I was doing and we did that. Because I knew we needed to focus on that one specific spirit, because it was trying to interfere with what God was trying to do. I was trying to preach a revelatory word, and I knew that spirit was there, and it was a distracting spirit, because when you're in unforgiveness, you think about that thing a lot. You think about that person. You think about that situation. It eats up your time and your mental strength. So if you can get, if you can recognize that it's a spirit of unforgiveness, the spirit of bitterness, you can come against that thing, and you can operate, you can, through an act of your will, forgive that person and choose not to hold that thing against that person anymore, and that no longer has the power over you. You still have to keep practicing it, because that little spirit wants to just keep, no, I'm still here. No. You have no authority here. You have no control over me, because I forgive and I'm free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed, it says somewhere. So freedom is the gift, all right? So it's a gift that this discerning of spirits is when you can actually recognize what is in operation. And again, I've operated in that before. I've operated in most of these gifts. And you can too. It's not like I'm in the fivefold ministry. I believe I'm an apostle that operates in the prophetic. Okay? An apostle is kind of like a fathering ministry. He's kind of like the GC, in other words, the general contractor. He schedules all the trades. He schedules all the contractors, all this kind of. So the apostle kind of, he's not more really more important. He just is kind of the organizer. And then I'm also operating in the prophetic. So I am an apostle that operates in the prophetic, and I speak in the prophetic. I can see in the future. I can see stuff coming. Not all time, not all, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you're a prophet, don't read my mail right now. Well, I don't operate in it all the time. It's only when God needs me to. It's, again, it's not a skill, it's not something I've, but it's just something God has done for me. So the discerning of spirits will help us to be able to focus and understand what's in operation at that time. So these are the gifts of revelation, okay? Notice that the discerning spirits in the list is not actually right there with those, but we group them in different categories. And so these are the gifts of revelation. Now, one of the things I want to do, I want to make a statement here, and we're going to put it on the screen. I want you to welcome the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your life. Be sincerely and eagerly available to receive any of the gifts of the Spirit that He would minister through you. I want you to be willing to do that, okay? I want you to be willing to do that. Now, first of all, before you can do that, you actually have to be born again. You can't operate in the gifts of the Spirit if you're not born again. If you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you hadn't made Him the Lord of your life and given your heart and life over to Him, you can't do that. So that's what I want to do first. I want to, if anybody here, anybody online, if there's anyone that's watching that has not given your life over to Jesus, that you haven't made Him the boss, made Him the Lord of your life, I want to give you that opportunity right now. I don't have any music playing or anything like that, but this is just, you got to do step one before you can do step two. But I'm here to tell you, once you get step one done and you start getting into step two, it gets gooder and gooder, okay? But step one, if you want to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, it's so simple. All you have to do is say this one prayer. The sentence that is just so pivotal, and all it is say, Jesus, I give you my life. Come on, just say that. If you're online and you're watching us, say, Jesus, I give you my life. And Lord, we just thank you for those that have prayed that prayer this morning. We thank you, God, that they are now accepted, that they are now your children. God, that they are part of the family of God. We thank you, God, that you are embracing them now, God. Lord, that you are taking their heart, Lord. You're washing away and wiping away their sins, Lord. Every sin that they have committed in their lives, whether they did it on purpose or by accident, whatever, Lord, every choice they've made, God, you are cleansing that from their heart and their mind. And we thank you for that. We thank you, God, that you are now, your Holy Spirit is now living in their heart, God. Lord, that you have made yourself at home in their heart. And Lord, I just thank you for that. And I give you honor in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All right. Now, if you did that, if you want to go to the website, turnaround.church, and click I just received Jesus, fill out that information. We want to send you a book that's going to help you. It's a resource to help you with living your Christian life, okay? So, next step is being baptized in the Holy Spirit. So this is what we call the second baptism. It's the next step. We believe, and I've experienced this, so that's why I believe in it, that next after salvation, you don't have to be filled with the Spirit to go to heaven. Okay? Once you've made that decision, that first step, you're going to heaven. That's it. This is not a requirement to go to heaven. However, receiving the Holy Spirit, being baptized into the Holy Spirit, you've been baptized now into the blood of Jesus. Okay? Now, this is the baptism into the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit fills you and you're baptized in Him, this is what gives you that power that we're talking about. It gives you an empowerment to live your life more victoriously. All right? It's a free gift. It is a free gift. My dad explained it this way one time. He said, "What do you do when somebody offers you a gift? What do? You just say, thank you, and receive it." And it's that simple with the Holy Spirit. That's all it is you say, "Lord, I want to receive your Holy Spirit." And just let Him begin to flood you, begin to flood you. Now, one of the things that often happens when you're filled with the Holy Spirit is you begin to speak in a different tongue, a different language. Now, some people are going to say, "Wait a minute, I don't know another language." Well, it's not a language that you know. It's not an utterable language. And this is my experience, okay? This is what happened to me. I was 23. It was before we got married. I was not filled with the Holy Spirit. I was born in Pentecost. But I did not want to lose control of myself like I had seen happen. You know, we talked about that, how he'll empower you but not overpower you. I'd seen the overpowering thing way too much. And I said, I ain't going to be like that because I'm cool, calm, and collected. I'm not going to be out of control. Well, so unbeknownst to me, my fiance was praying that I'd be filled with the Holy Spirit before we got married. There was a little game afoot, and she was praying, "Lord, I want him to be filled with the Holy Spirit before we get married." And so we were sitting on the front row of a church in Denton, Texas, and we're having an altar service, and there was music playing, and there was, you know, people going, and it was more of an emotional experience than it is right now, and I just didn't feel like we needed to do that this morning. But I was sitting on the front row, sharing on this side, and this wonderful saint of God lady was sat right beside me, Sister Danello. Her husband played trumpet in the band, but she was just the sweetest, kindest, she was a sweetheart. And she sat down next to me, and she began whispering in my ear, and she began to, and I don't know if Sharon told her I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit or what, but she just began whispering to me and ministering to me about the Holy Spirit. I was born and raised a preacher's kid, but she began ministering, and she said, "Listen, He will not force you. He is gentle. He will not force you. He won't force this stuff on you. In fact, what He wants to do is He wants to just gently fill you." And I thought, okay, I can deal with that. So she said, "Just begin to pray, Holy Spirit, come in and fill me." And if any of y'all want to do that this morning, if you really want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, let's just do that. Let's just close our eyes and open our hands, just like the receptive posture when we're getting blessed. But just say, "Holy Spirit, I want to receive you, and I accept you. I accept you as a gift from God."
I'm glad you took the time to listen to the James Hooper podcast. If you'd do me a favor, give us a like. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Also, rate and review us so others can find the podcast. If you want to contact us, go to jhimonline.org or send us an email at info@jhimonline.org. Until next time, have a great day.